With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
This physical body that you have will be resurrected into a glorified body. And that glorified body will be so effectively transformed by the Lord so that it will know no ability to sin, no consequences of sin, and you will be able to enjoy that everlasting existence in a place that the Bible calls the new heavens and the new earth. That is the final state.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, The Final State, The New Heavens and the New Earth. It's a part of our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective, If I Should Die Before I Wake. In the Gospel of John, we read, The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. But there will come a day when believers will go to the Lord and make their dwelling with Him. Jesus declared, In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. If you come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, you will dwell forever in the glorious place that the Lord Himself has prepared for you. Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, The Final State, The New Heavens, and the New Earth.
I was dealing with this matter of if I should die before I wake, and what I promised was that we would go to passages of Scripture to deal with certain issues about the believer's death and everlasting life. So we saw that death is not a part of life. It's an intruder and it's an enemy. The wages of sin is death. You don't have death in Genesis 1 and 2. It only comes in Genesis 3. And it comes with three dynamics. Physical death, separation of body and soul. Spiritual death, the separation of the sinner from an intimate, personal, saving relationship with Christ. Unless Christ saves us from both our bad heart and our bad record by His grace, we are separated from Him, dead in our sins. And then, of course, eternal death, which is the separation of the impenitent sinner under the judgment of God for all eternity. So what is God's solution to that? It is the solution is God's saving grace in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when you die now, what happens if you're a believer? So I only know of two situations in the Bible where people who have lived did not die. Otherwise, as far as I know, it's 100% mortality rate that we've got going. One is Enoch and the other is Elijah. But there are not just two glorified bodies in heaven with Jesus, Enoch and Elijah. There's actually three because the Bible tells us that Michael the archangel was sent, and the book of Jude informs us that Michael the archangel secured the body of Moses. And so the body of Moses precedes the resurrection with the own individual resurrection, which, by the way, is very helpful to explain something, doesn't it? Why is it at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus is lifted up, two other glorified bodies are lifted up beside Him? Does anybody remember who they were? Moses and Elijah. So how did they get there if their bodies were still in the grave? Well, their bodies weren't in the grave. Elijah was taken up and the body of Moses had already been secured by Michael, the archangel. So what we have, but everyone else, our bodies go ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and then God has promised the resurrection of them. Or as I say at every single funeral, I try to make this point. There's a reason why in the Apostles' Creed, we affirm the gospel promise, I believe in the resurrection of the body, that God will raise this body and that He will raise this body for eternity. But when I die and my body's in the grave, what about me? Well, a body will come under the curse of sin, and the body can be killed, but you can't. The soul cannot be killed. The only one that can kill a soul is the Lord himself. And so your soul, you continue to live at death. And you go, your body is laid aside, but absent from the body is present with the Lord. Now, where are you present with the Lord? You're present with the Lord in the immediate blessing of heaven for an intermediate period of time. You are spiritually perfected in your soul, and you are in the presence of the Lord. That place is called heaven. That place is called Abraham's bosom side. That place is called paradise, and that's where you are. There is also an intermediate and immediate state of judgment for the impenitent. That place is called the abyss, and that place is called Hades of torment. But you are in that place of paradise in heaven, being comforted by the Lord, and there is your spiritual existence, as we looked at last week, that you enjoy in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. But that immediate heaven is not the final state. That immediate heaven is your intermediate state, and there is yet coming a final state. It is not simply a spiritual state. It is an eternal state with a glorified body. A glorified body, this physical body that you have, will be resurrected into a glorified body. And that glorified body will be so effectively transformed by the Lord so that it will know no ability to sin, no consequences of sin, and you will be able to enjoy that everlasting existence in a place that the Bible calls the new heavens and the new earth. That is the final state. Do you remember the Beatitudes? Remember the Beatitudes? Remember, blessed are? You remember that one? So I can just call on somebody, they start quoting it, right? No, I won't do that to you. Okay, so you remember one in Matthew 5, I see the verse 5 or verse 7. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit, oh, this one? No. They will inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Believers will inherit a new heavens and a new earth. And we know that, and God even now is bearing witness of this to us. So what I want to do is take about some collected passages of Scripture and bring some distillation from those passages to give us some understanding of the final, ultimate state of the believer for all eternity. Have you ever stopped to think about that? All eternity. I've been redeemed and hell's gates are shut. I've been saved and the presence of the Lord is mine forever. When I die before Jesus comes, I go immediately into his presence with the perfected soul. Remember Hebrews 12? The perfected soul in the heavenly Jerusalem. But when Jesus comes again and the body is raised and joined to that soul, I won't be in a heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem will come down. And the dwelling place of God will be with his people on the earth. That's a part of a rejuvenated universe, a new heavens, and a new earth. So if you've got your Bibles, let's get started on some of these texts. And I want you to have them there in front of you. It's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, I know you may have your technological Bible there. And I know you're saying, I know what Harry's going to say. Reading the Bible off of an iPhone is like kissing your wife through a screen door. I don't say that anymore. Here's what I say now. I say reading a Bible on an iPad or a computer or an iPhone is like kissing your wife through a COVID-19 mask. That's what I say now. Romans chapter 8, and look with me at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, that's where we are right now, this present age, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. You see all of these convulsions that Jesus told us are going to be with us until he comes again. The convulsions of the winds and the storms. The very groaning of the creation to be delivered. Famines and storms and floods and all of the things that happen. That's the creation that's groaning. The creation waits with eager groaning. Why? Because you won't get a new creation until all of the sons of God have been revealed. All right, stop right there. So let me go ahead and do an advertisement here. Next Lord's Day, we're going to deal with the doctrine of the eternal state of the impenitent sinner, the doctrine of hell. And then we want to come back to this series, and I want to pick up some things that we're moving over. For instance, last week I talked about the immediate blessing of heaven in the intermediate state, right? This week I'm talking about the final state. I just skipped over two things in God's redemptive plan. What are they? The second coming of Christ and the judgment seat. So we're going to come back and pick up those from the Bible. What is the judgment seat? And what about believers in the judgment seat? And what about when will Jesus come? And I want y'all to know, do not miss that sermon, because I know when Jesus is coming. I know, and I'm going to tell you when he is coming in that sermon. But what this is telling you, the creation, now watch, the creation is groaning, and it will keep growing until it's delivered, but it won't be delivered until all of those who are the sons of God have been revealed, translated, until the elect have been saved. This old heavens and old earth is going to keep on groaning and convulsing. And it will continue to do that until the revealing of the sons of God. Now, go with me to what he then says. For the creation was subjected to futility. Now, if you want to jot down notes in your Bible, you can put the word vanity there. And you can go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 or Ecclesiastes chapter 1. All is what? Vanity. And when you see that futility, put the word vanity, it's the same word. And when you see that word futility or vanity, don't think simply of frustration. Think of emptiness. That's what Ecclesiastes is saying about vanity. It is emptiness. And so what this is telling you is the creation, because of sin, has been cursed. And the curse upon the creation is creation never fulfills what God made it to be. And God made it as to how it was to be used and how we were to subdue it and how we were to rule over it. It will not do its purpose because the curse of sin is upon it. Yes, many times you will plant and you'll see seeds come to harvest. Many times you'll plant and it won't. You will see things constantly that don't work as God ordered it to work in creation. That's not any inadequacy of creation. That is the evidence of the curse of sin upon the creation. It's emptiness. It's lack of fulfillment because of him who subjected it. In hope. Now, why did God subject it, the curse of sin? He subjected it to the curse of sin in hope that the creation itself will yet be set free from its bondage to corruption, and this creation will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So not only will there be God's people who will be set free from their sin and revealed, that in context with that, this creation has been subjected subjected to the curse of sin, to be delivered by the hand of God as the place where those saved sons and daughters of God will reside for all eternity. It has been subjected to the curse of sin in the anticipation of not fulfillment now. Now is emptiness, but in fulfillment then. When all of his people have been saved, then this creation will be ushered into and transformed into a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So please, folks, please, please, please don't buy the videos. Don't by the books that keep going to the fact that Jesus is coming soon, because this and this is happening in terms of cataclysmic events in the atmosphere on the earth, and this and that and the other. Jesus has all, you can save your money. Jesus has already told you that in Matthew 24 and 25. From the day of his ascension, he said, until I come again, the convulsions of this groaning earth will be with you. Pestilence. COVID-19. There will be pestilence. There will be famines. There will be plagues. There will be storms. There will be floods. There will be droughts. There will be all of these things will be here in this earth that has been subjected to the curse of sin. And he calls them birth pangs. He says these are the birth pangs, but that's not the sign of his coming. These are the birth pangs that tell you he is coming. And like a woman's birth pains, until he comes, they will come, they will be repetitive, and they will intensify until he comes, just as the pains of labor. So then he goes on to say, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, so he's talking about believers who have been sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in your life. We who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we are groaning inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In other words, our bodies are groaning too. Our bodies are under the curse of sin. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now if you're keeping count, we're up to three groanings in this cursed world. The creation is groaning. You are groaning. Your body is groaning to be delivered. And the Spirit is groaning on your behalf with utterances that are too deep for words as he intercedes for you. And so those are three groanings that are taking place because God has subjected the creation and us and our bodies to the consequences and curse of sin in this world. Now watch what he says. And he who searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So now what we have been told is that this groaning, we know there's something to come. We know these bodies were not made to die. That's the curse of sin. We know they were not made for the sin and for that groaning and for those aches and for those pains. That's the curse of sin. And we see the creation groaning. We see our bodies groaning. And now Paul says, listen, you know you're groaning. You know your body's groaning. You see the creation groaning. Now I'm telling you something else. God's grace is such, he's given you the Holy Spirit, and you're the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is groaning for you. He is interceding for you beyond what you could imagine, beyond what you could think. He is the one that is working in you. With those facts in place, I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians. Now we'll give you some passages in 1 Corinthians. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I want to read to you a passage my grandmother used to read to me all the time. Remember that Holy Spirit who knows you, who's praying for you. Isn't it wonderful to know you've got two intercessors? The Holy Spirit is interceding for you and Jesus is interceding for you. And so what are we told in verse 6? Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. It's here that I have somewhat of a disagreement with some of my dear brothers who declare that what the new heavens and the new earth are is the reclaiming and the recapturing of the garden. I think that's true, but I think it's even more than that. I think it's even more than that. In the garden, you couldn't sing Amazing Grace, but you will in the new heavens and the new earth. I believe there is another whole dimension in the allowing of sin and in the ordering of our sins in this world and in the authoring of salvation for us. And that will be known in a way that it wasn't known in the garden. Eye has not yet seen, not even Adam and Eve's. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We can't even imagine. There's a couple of passages that ought to come right to your mind in that next phrase. What God has prepared for us. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Don't be fearful. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Are many glorious mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare this place for you. In my Father's house, what God is preparing for us through Christ is a new heavens and a new earth. It's a place. It's not a thought. It's not just a concept. I go to prepare a place for you that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have you imagined. I go to prepare a place for you. This is what? It's the Father's house. It's a home, a place. The other day, I was back in Charlotte for some family business. But don't worry, it's nothing extraordinary. Believe me, our business is, it maybe has two digits in our business world, in my family. But I was there to having to take care of something. And when I was there, I was riding by the house I grew up in, at least part of my life, from age 8 to age 12. And I rode by there. It's amazing. Somebody threw water on that house and it shrunk. That's the only thing I can tell you. And I rode by it, and lo and behold, there were three. There's a Greek family that lived across the street. I remember I played baseball and football and basketball with them for I don't know how many years. Harry, George, and Chris Pappas. And lo and behold, I saw Chris out there. Chris was still living in that house across the street. So I stopped to say hello to him, and I'll tell you, this is really encouraging. He said, well, Harry, I thought you were dead. And I said, no, I'm not dead. And he said, you know, you hadn't but you hadn't hardly ate. I said, wait a minute, I think you're talking about my daddy. Oh yeah, you're Ike. Yeah, I'm Ike. And so we got straight from that point, but he thought I was my daddy. That's what he thought. He wasn't looking too good himself, by the way. He had some serious groaning going on himself. But then the guy that's been living in our house since then came up. And it was amazing as we... It's just not the same house. He hadn't done a thing to it. I mean, seriously, he has not done a thing to it. Except raise 9 kids in it. And then I was asking, why isn't it? I know why. My mama, my daddy, and my 3 sisters weren't in there. But in this house... it'll be a home. It's our Father's house. And we'll be with Him.
Jesus declared, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I am going there to prepare a place for you." If you come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, you will dwell forever in the glorious place that the Lord Himself has prepared for you. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective, If I Should Die Before I Wake. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request The Final State, The New Heavens and the New Earth, or simply ask for message number 16059. Again, that's message number 16059. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email imperspective@briarwood.org. What happens when I die? It's a question every person asks at some point in life. Pastor Reeder uses various biblical texts to examine this issue we all will face. This series deals with issues such as, what happens immediately when I die? What is the intermediate state? What is the judgment and the lake of fire? What will the new heavens and new earth be like? Everyone, regardless of your belief system, wants to know, what happens when I die? Here is your opportunity to find out what the Bible has to tell us. This 7-message CD set is yours for just $20. To order your set, go to briarwood.org/when I die. That's briarwood.org/when I die. For additional resources that will encourage your Christian faith, we invite you to download our free app. Simply go to your favorite app store and type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll be able to listen to today's teaching by Harry, along with all of our archived programs. The app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write to us and let us know if In Perspective is making a difference in your life. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.